CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham. Web references can be found in the script, either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday, the 16th of May 2021. Here are the main news headlines. Add your voice to the amateur radio survey. New Yota contest begins next weekend. Radcom News. As part of a wider IARU workshop, the RSGB is running a short survey about amateur radio in the UK. Nearly 550 people have responded so far and given their views. The survey takes just a few minutes to complete. We'd love to have a good representation from across the whole of the UK, so please make sure you take part and represent your area. Whether you're licensed or just interested in amateur radio, we'd welcome your views. You can find more information and the survey link on the RSGB website at rsgb.org. The Youngsters on the Air team has been working on a new Yota contest. The first of three sessions will be on the 22nd of May, 0800 to 1959 UTC. There are eight different categories, which include special ones for youngsters under 25, covering the 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metre bands. The competition will take place in CW and SSB modes. Go to hamyota.com for more details and copies of the rules. The latest issue of Radcom Plus will be available to RSGB members on Wednesday. It will be followed later in the week by the newest Radcom Basics. Radcom Plus is the RSGB's digital technical supplement edited by Peter G3XJE. This issue includes driving relays over a network, an automation system for the WSPR Lite, an article on sporadic E, a transceiver control system, and a wireless temperature sensor. You can subscribe to receive email alerts for future issues of Radcom Plus on the RSGB website. RSGB members can read previous editions of Radcom Basics by going to the same page. You can register to receive notification of subsequent issues as they become available at the same address. The RSGB launched the Friendship on the Air Award last month as a new way of getting on the air, representing your club and having a proper chat with radio amateurs on the airwaves. There are monthly and annual awards for individuals, clubs and the highest scoring club in each region. If you've taken part already, don't forget to upload your logs. If you'd like to get involved for the first time this month, then visit the RSGB Friendship Award page. Although the face-to-face Dayton Hamvention has been cancelled, online events will be taking place. There are virtual forums on Friday the 21st of May and a QSO party on Saturday the 22nd. Details at hamvention.org. Bletchley Park plans to reopen on Monday the 17th of May. Entry is only by pre-booking ticket, available on the website. The RSGB National Radio Centre remains closed for the time being. Please monitor the RSGB news feed and social media for any announcements regarding reopening. The 50 MHz beacon operated by VE2TKH in Locator Square FO60 has changed its call sign to VE2CSI/B. It operates on 50.077 MHz CW. Don't forget the Next Tonight at 8 live webinar this Monday, the 17th of May. Bob G3ORY will help you to discover more about amateur radio direction finding. This webinar will include contributions from Kim Taylor, who gives the perspective of a regular club member being talked into trying ARDF. You will also hear from a 14-year-old Flora Jolly, who was persuaded to go out and try ARDF with her dad, David. With COVID restrictions lifting, this is a great time to get out and enjoy ARDF. For more information about this and other webinars, see the RSGB website. The National Society of New Zealand has announced that negotiations with the regulator have been successful in allowing all New Zealand amateurs the use of 5 megs bands using WRC 15 allocation. Maximum allowable power is 15 watts EIRP, thanks to Bob's Adels 2CA, who is heavily involved in the negotiations. New Zealand amateurs are secondary users in this band. Now, DX News, DD1GG will be operating a Sugar Victor 9 stroke call sign from the island of Crete until the 24th of May. Activity will be holiday style on the 40 to 10 metre bands using SSB and FT8, QSL home call. ENZS6JSI is operating as TY5AB from Benin. Activity has been on the 20 metre band using FT8, QSL home call. Now, for special event news, Northwest Group ARC is commemorating the 89th anniversary of the first woman flying solo across the Atlantic on Friday the 21st of May. Using GB0AEL, they'll be active on the 80 to 10 metre bands, CWSSD beta data modes and DMR. GB0AEL will be active from the 15th of May. See QRZ.com for more. On the 22nd and 23rd of May, Worthing District ARC will operate GB1SCW as part of SOS Radio Week. The station will be on HF, VHF, UHF bands using various modes. Details at QRZ.com. Now, for contest news, with different parts of the UK having different lockdown restrictions, please follow the relevant national and local restrictions. This weekend, the 144 Megs May contest ends its 24-hour run at 1400 UTC today, the 16th. Using all modes, the exchange's signal report serial number, locator and postcode. Today, the 16th sees the first 144 Megs Backpackers contest from 1100 to 1500 UTC, all modes, the exchange's signal report serial number, locator and postcode. Also today, the 16th, the UK Microwave Group Millimeter Wave contest runs 0900 to 1700 UTC using all modes on the 24 to 76 gigs bands, the exchange's signal report serial number and locator. On Tuesday, the 1.3 gigs UK activity contest runs 1900 to 2130 UTC, all modes, the exchange signal report serial number and locator. The data leg of the 80 meter club championships is Wednesday from 1900 to 2030 UTC, exchange a signal report serial number and, yes, number. Serial number, oh dear. On Thursday, the 70 Megs UK activity contest runs 1900 to 2130 UTC, using all modes, the exchange a signal report serial number and locator. Next Sunday, the 23rd, the third 70 Megs cumulative contest runs from 1400 to 1600 UTC, using all modes, the exchange a signal report serial number and locator. The UK 6-metre group summer marathon runs from the 1st of August. Exchange your 4-character locator. Now for the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G3YLA and G4BAO. Last week was a real rollercoaster ride, they write, in terms of HF propagation. While the solar flux index remained in the 70s, we have had C-class solar flares and a coronal mass ejection that hit the Earth on the 12th of May. This ultimately pushed the KP index to 7. It was largely as a result of the BZ component of the interplanetary magnetic field going sharply south, meaning the solar matter more easily coupled with the Earth's magnetic field. F2 layer maximum usable frequencies were impacted, with the MUF over a 3,000 km path falling to just over 14 megs for a time, and there were widespread reports of visible aurora. The good news is that Sporadic E has been this week's saviour, bringing lots of openings on 10, as well as openings to Scandinavia and Europe, plus short skip to Scotland. There were reports of openings to the Caribbean as well. It's hard to say whether this was a multi-hop Sporadic E or an enhancement brought about by the geomagnetic disturbance. And it wasn't all FT8 for a change. Gary at G0FWX reported working Puerto Rico, Canada, USA, Paraguay, Western Sahara, Gibraltar and Saudi Arabia on 10 metres SSB. It does go to show that 10 metres may be the band to be on this month. Next week, NOAA predicts the solar flux index will be in the range 70 to 84. Sunspot regions 2818 and 2821 will rotate into view next week, which may give the SFI a helping hand. Geomagnetic conditions may be unsettled this week, with NOAA predicting KP index of 5 on the 16th. We may then have a few quiet days before it goes up again due to coronal hole activity. Now for VHF and up. We had some very welcome Sporadic E last week, and after the high activity closer to the peak of the Aquarids meteor shower and recent lull earlier this week. Wednesday was boosted by an aurora. Contacts were reported to GM and GD on 6 in the afternoon and widespread sporadically later in the day. The overall weather conditions contribution seems to suggest a repeat of the showery theme through to the end of next week. So once again, good for gigahertz band rain scatter. An obvious result of the low pressure and showery weather is a lack of tropo, with no significant areas of high pressure on the current runs of the models. Sporadic E becomes more commonplace as we go through May, and the usual advice is to check regularly throughout the day, but if time is limited, go for a mid-morning and late afternoon, early evening. The stronger events should reach 4 metres and perhaps even 2, particularly for FT8, but it's worth checking the other modes from now onwards. Since the position of the jet streams in the weather part of the atmosphere can be a good indicator of where sporadic E might occur, the prospects are looking good, with strong Atlantic jet stream across Spain and southern Europe, which means beaming to the south or southeast for best results. For the bigger stations, it's also worth trying paths to the Caribbean and the north of South America on 6 in the evening, since later in the summer the jet streams are not so well placed for this path. With the moon at peak declination this weekend, we have long visibility windows and high peak moon elevations. Path losses are falling as we are past apogee for the month. No significant meteor showers this week, so be active around dawn for the best random meteors. That's it from the propagation team this week. That's the end of GB2RS, but a personal note from me. Ed, DD5LP, who puts together the recordings after I've sent them on and puts them onto Podbeam and elsewhere, was taken ill last week, and most exceptionally, we didn't manage to get the bulletin out. But I'm glad to say it's made good progress. He's back again, and I'm sure we all wish him very well indeed. See you next week.